Before fluorescent formations ever fomented the foundations of your firmament, that is, before the stars in your sky ever entered existence, before the light knew what bright meant, before the sky had a clue where up went, before either were ever invented, I am. Before terrestrial perennials terraced your planet's territorial terrain, that is, before the plants in your ground were ever ordained, before roots were ever arranged, before fruit had a taste, before either had a name, I am. Before the ocean had a bowl, before the surf discovered its role, before the grave was made Sheol, before man had a soul, I am. Before Eden was installed, before the garden serpent crawled, before the tree, before the fall, I am. For I am truth, before there ever could be false. I am perfection, before there ever could be false. I am by all, in all, through all, in all, and I am to be called, I am. Before the curse usurped the ground and drove you away from the divine, before you felt this separation between who you are and the intention of your design, before you tried to abide in sources of death in order to find life, before you combined yourself with any form of pleasure you could find, before you felt so alone, before you felt so dry, before you tried to run away from my side, I am the vine. Before the cherubim ever guarded the garden, before the flaming sword was ever sharpened, before that chasm between God and man was ever widened, before you lost all hope in becoming a citizen of heaven, before all you earned was endless flame, before all you deserved was righteous pain, before you were a sheep hoping not just to be some lion's prey, before you were a lost lamb longing for a pen, longing to escape your fate, I am.
Tonight, we're beginning a new series called Knowing God. And it's a great series because we all want to know about God. We just finished a series called Foolproof, Living a Life Without Regret, based on the Sermon on the Mount. This series is based on the seven I Am sayings in the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, I am. And we look at that to get to know who God is and how we might get to know God. So I invite you to come back each and every week for the next 7 weeks as we discuss what it means to know God and to be known by God and to discover those things about God. You know, it's kind of a paradox that we want to know this God. God has placed that urging need to know Him in our hearts. In Methodism, we call that prevenient grace, that gift that God gave us that causes us to want to know Him. And yet, we look at the totality of God and we realize that someone whose name is I Am is much bigger than we could ever fathom. Is this some kind of cruel joke that God would place in our hearts a desire to know something that is ultimately unknowable? Or is it simpler than that? We're talking now, when we talk about the I Am sayings of Jesus, we have to go back to the very beginning where God introduces Himself to Moses. They had had 300 years of slavery in Egypt. There was 300 years from Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph, and Jacob, all the way to Moses. They had all but forgotten their God. When you think about it, 300 years of being kind of exiled away is about as long as African Americans in our country have been separated from their homeland in Africa. And most of the African Americans that I have met and asked the question to can't tell me anything about their African heritage. They don't know what their family name used to be. It was just too far away and too long ago, and they haven't had the records. So when God speaks to Moses and says, I am the God of your ancestors, of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they had to reach way back in the recesses of their minds to discover what that was. And I guess Moses even had to try to figure out what was this burning bush that was talking to me. Have you ever had a time in your life when you were questioning things so much and you just had so much doubt? This is a rhetorical question. I don't need anybody to raise their hands, okay? But I know it's happened to me. A time when you say, God, if you really are there, then, and then you finish the rest of the sentence. God, if you really are there, it's like a dare. God, I need you to prove it to me. I dare you. And sometimes God answers, and sometimes God doesn't. But I think many of us have had that time in our lives. I remember once, maybe about 25 years ago, I was having what St. John of the Cross called a dark night of the soul. Deepness and darkness and hopelessness. And I said that. I said, God, if you really are there, make your presence known to me. And he did in marvelous fashion. That's a whole nother story. But I just want you to know that we have, as a human race, this history of seeking to know God and to make sure that God is there. We have in our bones this desire to know God that God placed in our hearts to begin with. And we have a God who reveals himself to us, such as his grace and his love, that he doesn't just want us to know that he's there. He wants us to know him, to understand the depth of his personality, the very essence of his love, and the immensity of his grace. He wants us to know those things so that we can not just fear him or praise him, but so that we may have a relationship with him. God made himself known to us and all of the wondrous things of the universe that he created, and so we call him Father because he is the Father of all things. But he wasn't finished there. When all seemed lost, he gave us Jesus. And Jesus, we say, is basically God's self-revealing, that he is God incarnate who makes himself known to us in a human being so that we can have the ultimate relationship with him. I'd like to stop for just a moment and read the scripture to you that we're referring to. It's Exodus 3, verses 1 through 12. And you may ask, well, if we're talking about the I am sayings of Jesus in the Gospel of John, why are we starting in Exodus? Well, because Exodus is where we start with this name, I am. And Jesus appropriated it for himself. But hear this word from Exodus 3. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and any other sites that might be there. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And he said, I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Isn't it interesting that Moses asked the most essential question of our existence? Who am I? Who am I to release the people from the Egyptians? Who am I, period? And did you hear what God's answer was? I will be with you. Has it ever occurred to you that the existence of God with us is the sum total of the essence of our nature? That is the definition of who we are? We are the people with God? There's more to it than that. I'll get to that in a few minutes. But it's amazing to me that God would reveal himself and say, I am. I am the great I am. I am. It's a simple sentence, a noun and a verb. It's the most basic verb, to be. He is to be. He is. I am. Or I will be what I will be. Or sometimes people even say, I will be wherever I will be. And God answers to Moses, I will be with you. That is who you are. Many years later, Jesus appeared by the Sea of Galilee and appropriated that same message. He said, I am. He had seven things to say. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. This is what the series is going to be about, and we'll go into those things in more depth. But for right now, I just want to point out to you that when Jesus was saying, I am, he was using God's words. To the Jewish people of that day, it must have seemed like heresy, because no one would say, I am, and equate themselves with God. But whether it is heresy or whether it is truth is simply a matter of the faith of the hearer. And we who are here today as professing Christians proclaim that Jesus is. Jesus is all of those things. He is what he said he was. And if you're not there yet, I want you to know that that's okay. This is a place where you can explore in your faith, you can have your doubts, you can struggle with the scriptures, you can wonder all you want, but just know this, you are surrounded by a community of people who have claimed that as their truth, that Jesus is all that Jesus said he was, that Jesus did all that he said he was going to do, including rise from the dead and go to heaven and return to us as the Holy Spirit to be with us forever. This is who we are, the people who are with God. So when we think about what these things tell us about Jesus, we begin to realize that Jesus is God incarnate, which means God made flesh. Fleshlessness made fleshy. He is both heavenly, and he is both heavenly and earthly. Where God is all, and God is everywhere, we realize that God is eternal, and God will be there, and that will be enough. But when we ask ourselves, well, what does this say about Jesus? Well, we have seven things that it says about Jesus, but more than that, we are told, we understand that Jesus really is God too. that Jesus is heavenly and yet earthly, that he is fully God and fully human. And when he says, I am the bread of life, he addresses our hunger. When he says, I am the light of the world, he addresses our dark nights of the soul. When he says, I am the way and the truth and the life, he is saying that he is the antidote to our lostness. When he says, I am the vine, we know where we get our sustenance. So Jesus relates to us and defines himself in both godly terms and in earthly terms. And the sum total of what he's saying is, whatever it is you need, what you truly need, come to me and I will provide. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to me, you who are hungry and thirsty, and I will give you the bread of life and the living water. Come to me, all of you who live in fear, and I will give you comfort, and I will give you strength, and I will protect you, so that you need no longer fear. Not even death will ruin you and stop your life, because your life is eternal in me. And yes, that's enough too. So what does it say about ourselves? The I Am sayings of Jesus don't just tell us about God, and they don't just tell us about Jesus. They reveal something about us as well. Because when Jesus says, I am the light, in one place he says, I am the light of the world. In the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you are the light of the world. In one place he says, I am the good shepherd, but in another place he says, feed my sheep. He says, I am the vine, you are what? The branches. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and yet when we read into the book of Acts, we see that the early Christians were known as the people of the way. So they too were part of the way. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he also promised that life to us, not just to keep it for himself. So in all of these I am sayings of Jesus, he is defining who he is for the world, but he is also defining who you are when you are with him and through him and in him, the people called Christians, the people of the way. We take on those qualities of Jesus because he calls us to. He wants us to feed the sheep as he was the good shepherd. He wants us to be the light of the world as he is the light of the world. He wants us to follow in his footsteps and be his disciples in every way, even in those ways when we dare not believe we can do it. Now, another thing I want to point out in this passage is that when God called out to Moses, he went to the bush. God said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. That is an important statement you see scattered throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament. Because when somebody says, here I am, it's not just popping your head up out of the bushes when nobody can find you, you're playing lost and found. It's not that kind of a thing. It's actually more like saying, here I am, Lord, ready for duty, here I am, responding. I'm here I am, you've got my full attention, here I am, ready to do what you call me to do. And I just want to suggest to you that when you are asking God who he is and his answer is, I am with you, the proper response to that is, here I am. When God says, I am here, you say, here am I. And the relationship begins. And you and God get to know each other a little better. So let it be in the coming weeks that as we go through this series together, we will come not only to know ourselves better and maybe each other better, but that we may know the great I am. I'd like to invite the band to come forward. And as they're coming forward, I just want to ask you a few questions. Are you ready for that journey? I know it can be kind of scary. I know it can be pretty intimidating to walk up to something as immense as God. But we serve a God who is both fearful. He is fearful, but he also fearfully and wonderfully made us in his image. You've often heard that we are made in the image of God, but let me suggest to you that we are also made out of God. We are made out of God. The stuff that is in us, the very essence of our being, is God-like because God made us in his image. Have you ever wondered what would be left if you were completely burned away so that there weren't even any ashes left? What would be left? Nothing? No. Your very essence of your being, God, would be left. All else is dust, but we are made out of the stuff of God. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, let this truth be known to us. Let it sink deep in our hearts, into the marrow of our bones, so that we come to understand that we are goodness and light and bread and shepherd to a hurting world who needs us. In Jesus' name, amen.